Will hundreds of thousands of felons here in Florida be able to register to vote in just a few weeks?
Voters said they should be able to, but no one is clear on how it could happen.
So are lawmakers slow walking the will of the voters?
This is the Florida Roundup from WLRN Public Media in Miami and WJCT Public Broadcasting in Jacksonville. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Well, Florida voters approved Amendment 4, a constitutional amendment restoring the voting rights of most felons. But with just weeks before it goes into effect, there's no clarity on how Amendment 4 will be implemented. Governor-elect DeSantis says he needs the legislature to act on this, but the amendment goes into effect months before lawmakers meet.
You can join the conversation statewide today at 305-995-1800 or at Florida Roundup on Twitter. It's next. Welcome to the Florida Roundup this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
So over 1 million felons in Florida are supposed to be able to register to vote in only about 3.5 weeks. Amendment 4, the Voting Restoration Amendment, was approved by 65% of voters in November, returning the right to vote to most felons after they serve their sentences. It's supposed to go into effect January 8th, but there's confusion, Melissa, around how exactly the state's going to implement it.
There really is, Tom. Now, this week, Governor-elect Ron DeSantis said that the constitutional amendment shouldn't go into effect until after state lawmakers pass a law, laying out just how they should implement it. DeSantis spoke about this to the Palm Beach Post podcast Inside Florida.
I don't think that it's self-executing. I mean, I think that if you look, they have exceptions for who's not eligible for that. They do not enumerate the statutes that you could violate. And so there just needs to be implementing language. I don't see any way around that.
Of course, those who crafted the amendment say its intent is quite clear and that it should be implemented automatically. But here's the thing. Lawmakers won't gather for the 2019 legislative session until March. That's 2 months after felons will be legally eligible to register to vote in state elections. And there are measures to be voted on before then.
Yeah, including some elections in Broward County here in South Florida, Melissa. Now, the governor-elect isn't the only one putting the brakes on Amendment 4. Republican State Senator Dennis Baxley is the chair of the Senate's Ethics and Elections Committee.
It can be very clear what to implement, but then it can be unclear how do you go about actually delivering on that implementation.
So we are going to spend the full hour this Friday here on the Florida Roundup looking at the impact of Amendment 4. It is now the law of the land in Florida. Felons have the right to vote in this state for the most part after they serve their sentences. But how is it going to be implemented, and what will greet a convicted felon who really wants to vote if they go and register on January 8th? Are they going to be able to vote? This is such a significant expansion of the franchise in Florida that it's gotten a lot of national attention. So we decided to devote the full hour to this today on the Roundup, and we want your calls from across the state as we talk about the impact and the issues around Amendment 4. Give us a call right now at 305-995-1800. That's 305-995-1800, or tweet us at Florida Roundup. WLRN reporter Danny Rivero has been covering all the issues surrounding the implementation of Amendment 4, and he joins us now. So, Danny, let me begin by asking you with what's been the reaction to Governor-elect DeSantis's remarks about implementing Amendment 4. He's saying there needs to be legislation around this. The ACLU in particular has pushed back on that, saying that this is self-executing. Let's talk about those two points of view. Beginning with the governor, is he on solid legal ground by saying, look, we need to look at this before we automatically implement?
You know, that's a great question, somewhat of a legal question. So the answer to it is not exactly straightforward. But I will say that by suggesting that the legislature needs to get involved, there's a 2-month gap in between when this goes into effect on paper and when the legislature meets. So even if he is correct, there is going to be a gap of when this is on paper the law of the land, yet it's not being implemented. So people might be showing up to their local supervisor of elections offices and not being able to register to vote. Or, you know, there's some counties, in Miami-Dade County, for example, we have some local elections in February. So if you registered on the same day that this goes into effect and you were allowed to register, you'd be able to vote in that election. In Pinellas County, there's some elections in March. So it's not a straightforward question, and it's something that will likely go to the courts very soon if this is not figured out by the time it's set to go into the law.
Danny, let me ask you about the governor's points, saying that the language in the amendment doesn't enumerate the statutes you can violate. The language in the amendment talks about the voting rights for felons can be restored unless those are convicted of murder and felony sex crimes. But the amendment doesn't specify which statutes in Florida law are included in murders and felony sex crimes. Is this essentially what the governor's asking for here, that it needs to cite code, Florida legal code, in order for this amendment to come into play?
It does sound like that. And to be fair, the ACLU and other groups like the League of Women Voters, they put out a statement yesterday following DeSantis's comments, and they said that, look, the legislature should exercise its normal and proper, I'm quoting here, oversight function of relevant state agencies to ensure that they implement the amendment in accordance with the will of the voters. So there is arguably some room for definitions for the legislature to be able to come in and say, okay, well, let's decide what these definitions are. But when you read the language of the amendment, it does say, you know, all people convicted of felons with these exceptions.
Right. And murder and felony sex crimes are the two exceptions specified in the amendment language.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a right. And those are the exceptions. But it's 305-995-1800. We want your calls on Amendment 4 here on the Florida Roundup. We'll go to your thoughts and tweets in just a moment. And let me ask you, too, as a follow up, we've got Governor-elect Ron DeSantis, Foursquare against Amendment 4. New Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody also was against the implementation of Amendment 4, as are the majority of the lawmakers in the state legislature. So what about the perception, I'm not saying it's reality, but the perception that the leadership in Tallahassee, Danny, is slow rolling the will of the voters on Amendment 4, on granting more than a million felons the right to vote? And let's also take note of the fact that this feeds a perception that our state legislature has had a history of ignoring the will of the voters when it comes to these ballot amendments. The most recent example we could probably point to is the passage of Amendment 2, which legalized medical marijuana in Florida. So as you cover this, what are your thoughts about the perception that the politics of this are we've got an electorate that supported this statewide, but we're running into the politics of how the folks that are running Tallahassee really feel about this amendment. They just don't like it. So it's really interesting politically to look at as well, Danny.
It absolutely is. And you know, to be clear, I mean, it's not being slow rolled yet, but the signals are being, you know, thrown into the clouds that it looks like this might be slow rolled in some kind of a way. And the responses I've heard from people, you know, I talked to Howard Simon, who was until very recently the executive director of ACLU of Florida. He was one of the people that drafted this. He said, look, looking at the history of how the legislature has really, you know, just ignored the will of the voters on several issues over the years, going back really quite some time. Mm-hmm. He said, we wrote this specifically in a way that when this goes into effect, there is not going to be any room for politicians to be in here. The voters have spoken. You know, the position of the ACLU is that, look, the burden's on the state, not the individual, to verify that you are in fact able to register to vote. So their position is on January 8th, you can go in, you can register to vote. You know, there's a question on the voter registration forms that says, you know, you are,
I affirm that I am not a convicted felon, comma, or if I am, my right to vote has been restored. And then it's a yes or no toggle.
Exactly.
Online.
So, you know, according to these groups and the way it was written is that they don't need to change the paperwork. They don't need to change anything. You say, yes, my right to vote has been, you know, reinstated. And then that's it. Then it's up to the state to figure it out. And, you know, at the state level, there's a pretty long process of you know, they check with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the Department of State has a process. But basically, according to the people that wrote this, you know, that's up to the state at this point. If I'm a felon, I can go in and I can register, and now it's up to you guys to figure it out.
Yeah, and the question is, have they figured it out? Does the state have the process in play? Because this is all happening at the county level and then, of course, being directed from state agencies. 305-995-1800, talking about the implementation of Amendment 4, the restoration of the right to vote for felons in Florida. Two-thirds of voters in November approved this amendment to the state constitution. Your thoughts at 305-995-1800. 1800. We will begin with Bernard on line 3. Thanks for holding on, Bernard. Your thoughts here.
You know, I worked very hard, as did a number of people, on this last election. And to see the Republicans basically do a power grab, knowing that the majority of these individuals are not going to vote Republican but vote on the Democratic side, is exactly the reason for the DeSantis action. It's very disturbing to see, again, as we've seen in other states, the Republicans take a viewpoint that that might is right, and consequently ignore the will of voters who really spent a lot of time, energy, and deep concern about having these individuals get the right to exercise their democratic right to vote.
Bernard, we appreciate those thoughts. Research has shown that felons tend to lean Democratic in voting. But just overall here, Danny, we're talking, I think the estimates are between 1 million and 1.5 million felons that could be eligible to have their voting rights restored in Florida, in a state that already has more than 13 million voters. If all of those estimated felons would register, this would be a better than 10% increase in voter registration in the state of Florida. We'd have almost 15 million people registered to vote if, in fact, this goes into implementation on January 6th.
Yeah, I mean, there's no understating it. I mean, if this goes into effect exactly how it's been implemented and how, you know, using the estimates of how many people might be impacted, I mean, this is historic. It's nothing short of historic. This is one of the biggest enfranchisements of voters in really American history. You know,
it's true. I mean, Howard Simon of the ACLU, I don't think it's an exaggeration to point out his comment about this. He called this the largest extension of the right to vote in America since the 1920 extension of the franchise to women. That's how many people we're talking about, Danny. It is so significant, which I think is why we're getting lots of calls on this. Let's go to Gail in Tampa right now. Hi, Gail. You're on the Florida Roundup.
Hi, yes. As a student of St. Leo University and Tampa Center, we just recently did a review. I did research for my welfare policy class, and what I found out quickly was three things. The first thing is that the governor was able to choose his executive clemency board members, his two cabinet members, and he's also have sole power to make the final decision on who's denied or who's granted clemency. I think that's a big issue. The second part, I'm looking at how are we going to know? We need some measure. They need to be able to provide some data measuring exactly how many felons they restore their rights to, the ethnicity, I have a speech impediment, so excuse me, their race. And then also we need an independent review board, whether it's Department of Justice with NAACP, whatever board, to where they can also come in and do a double check, a 6 month audit, year audit, something to make sure that the Florida Clemency Executive Board member and the governor are doing what they're supposed to do, and they're doing right by the people.
Thanks for that, Gail. And of course, with the implementation of this amendment, the process is expected by the voters to change. Danny Rivera, let's talk about what we have under the current system, and that we do have some data to look at. When we talk about how the Scott administration compares to past governors when it comes to restoring the rights of felons, let's share that information right now with folks.
Right. So there was a really recently a report from the Palm Beach Post, which was one of the deepest dives I've seen into this. And they actually went back through the Scott administration, and they crunched a lot of the numbers and compared it to past administrations. And they found that, you know, under Governor Rick Scott's administration and the cabinet, which it's, you know, it's worth pointing out, the governor doesn't necessarily
appoint the cabinet. The cabinet's all elected.
Yeah, exactly. They're elected. Yeah.
They're elected statewide. So that's the attorney general, the CFO, and the commissioner of agriculture. And they all have a vote on this clemency board. Now, you know, according to the Palm Beach Post's analysis, the cabinet restored the rights to vote for more than twice as many whites as blacks over the course of his administration. It gave a lower rate of blacks the right to vote than any Republican or Democrat going back at least half a century for the state. So, you know, by several measures, there seems to be somewhat of an ethnic racial disparity in who was getting the rights restored.
Yeah, it was a lot fewer people getting their rights restored under the Scott administration on average, significantly fewer compared to the Crist administration or even the Bush administration. And I think the racial disparity that the Palm Beach Post pointed out, and Danny, that you spoke about, is significant as well. Again, calls at 305-995-1800 talking about the implementation of Amendment 4. Benny is in Kendall in South Florida. Go ahead, Benny. You're on the radio.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I'm an independent. I lean conservative in my voting. My younger years, I was much more liberal. And then the issue on 4, I actually voted for it. I thought if these people have paid their debt to society, perhaps it would be a good idea. But now I reconsider that, and I've changed my mind, and I'll tell you why. I think the original intent to have that right stripped away for committing a felony is meant as some measure to not encourage people to make the crime in the first place as a deterrent. So if we go ahead and then give them the right to vote back, it's not political. It's just about whether or not the law is going to have any tooth. It's going to have any bearing. If we tell people, don't worry, it's not a big deal, you can have your right to vote back, then what's to deter people, you know? That's my question.
So Benny, so your thought is that by having this automatic restoration after a felon serves his or her time in prison, does probation, pays any money back if they have to, if they've been ordered to, that's not enough of a deterrent to commit a crime, that they ought to lose their right to vote permanently.
Listen, what is our rate of recidivism, and how many of these criminals go ahead? And felons go ahead and get reincarcerated, commit crimes when they're out. They're not getting out, you know, they weren't put in prison because they were good people. And because they finished their sentence, it doesn't mean automatically that they're rehabilitated.
Yeah.
And so here we are going to give them their right to vote back. I don't think so. I think it needs to be a strong deterrent.
Yeah.
And hey, it's not going to get it back if you do the crime. Don't do the crime if you can't do the crime.
Yeah, Benny, you're exactly right. It is almost, Benny regrets that vote for Amendment 4, but we appreciate you sharing your thought process with us here on the Florida Roundup. 305-995-1800, talking about the Amendment 4, the restoration of rights, voting rights for felons in Florida, added to the Constitution on January 8th. And so, Danny Rivera with WLRN, what is a felon in Florida potentially encountering if they go into their county election supervisor's office on January 8th and presents the documentation that they need to present in order to register to vote?
You know, that's the big question. You know, if I've talked to several supervisors of elections in different counties all across the state, and they've told me up to now they've received no guidance of how they should be managing this process. Maria Matthews, a division of elections director, said that they've put a pause button on their felon identification files because they need time to research it and gather the appropriate guidance. Ken Detzner, Secretary of State, says they're trying to figure out what exactly to do and what direction to give. To be clear, Senator Dennis Baxley, who we heard from earlier, he's the incoming chair of the Ethics and Elections Committee. That's part of his concern. He says
part,
you know,
of his concerns too.
Yeah,
and, we're going to keep discussing this here on the Florida Roundup with your calls and your tweets. What's your position on Amendment 4? You, the voters, passed it, but how is it going to be implemented? In a moment, we will hear from a Florida felon who has a very strong point of view about his right to vote after completing his sentence. That's next here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. Thanks for supporting public radio in Florida. The Sunshine State, just one of four states where felons do not automatically regain their right to vote after paying their debt to society. The State Clemency Board, which is made up of the governor, the state's chief financial officer, attorney general, and agriculture commissioner, they have to decide whether or not a Florida felon should be allowed to vote.
Now, that is supposed to change on January 8th. Boy, that's coming up soon. Two-thirds of voters in Florida in this past midterm election approved Amendment 4. And the amendment says, quote, voting rights shall be restored upon completion of all terms of sentence, including parole or probation, end quote. Now, the amendment does make exceptions for anyone convicted of murder or a felony sex crime. So Amendment 4 is now the law of the land, but we're focusing the full hour on this because as of right now, no one seems to agree on how this amendment should take effect.
Yeah, very little guidance coming from the state for county election supervisors responsible for voter registration rolls. Supporters say this amendment doesn't need the state legislature to act, and felons should be able to walk into their county supervisor of elections office in early January and register to vote. Governor-elect Ron DeSantis, though, thinks that state lawmakers need to decide how to implement the amendment in order for it to take effect. So join the conversation, 305-995-1800, or on Twitter, at Florida Roundup. Danny Rivero has been following this debate and implementation process for WLRN here in South Florida. Paul Hero is along with us now. He is a felon in Florida. He had worked with the organization around this amendment. Paul, thanks for joining us here on the Florida Roundup. Now, initially, you have not supported the language that voters did approve in November. Why not?
Well, actually, first of all, hi, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that. I was initially, like many people, I looked at it and I saw the words voting restoration. This goes back, you have to understand, this amendment has been pretty much tinkered with since about the late 2010-2011 era. It was first thought of for the 2014 situation. It was resurrected under our present situation. And some of us had a chance to look. First of all, it's a constitutional amendment. So not only are you putting a limited privilege to vote, which they insist on calling a right, but it is not, and it's very clear, but also all of those things like probation and full sentence and so on, and the murderers and felons, that is emblazoned in the Constitution now.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 16 states where probationers, as a matter of fact, if you're not incarcerated in those 16 states, you vote. There's no question. It's only the people in. And then there are two states where they'll bring you the ballot and let you vote in prison. And by the way, they haven't fallen into the ocean and bubbled down.
So what's your opposition to the language that voters approved?
The point is this. In order to do the same thing here in Florida, we now have to go over and invalidate our own amendment.
And I want to get in a few tweets coming into the show. Lots of calls tweets as we talk about the implementation of voting rights for felons in Florida. Maggie tweets the Florida Roundup. This is banana republic politics all over again. I'm embarrassed to tell anyone I live in Florida. How many states are there who don't restore voting rights? We are outliers. Mick tweets the Florida Roundup. Felons have paid for their crime, period. Are we going to let them become members of society again? Then we need to let them vote. It's criminal to exclude them from the core act of society. On January 8th, let it be. Okay, Paul, it's obvious by the vote, by what we saw at the ballot box, the majority of Floridians agree with those tweets that restoration of voting rights should be automatic. Do you plan to go to a polling place on January 8th and try to register? And what do you expect when you do?
Okay, am I going to try and register? Yes. You see, one of the things that needs to be understood is I am a felon. I want felons to have rights. But I also, you know, I'm also a person who doesn't drink. I would love to have prohibition work, but the Volstead Act made it completely impossible for that to work. It was a bad idea, and we had to own it. In this particular case, what I'm expecting to have happen, think of how this was sold. You probably signed one of the applications for this, right?
Signed it. You mean a petition?
Can you clarify a little bit about why you're opposed to the language? Because the people that crafted it, for example, mm-hmm. Howard Simon, formerly of the ACLU, they call this self-executing. They're saying, look, this is as clear and as simple as it can be, but it sounds like you don't agree with that.
No, not only that, when did they bring up self-executing? It was after the election was over. I haven't heard that wording at any time prior to. What I did hear was that 1.5 million people were going to get their rights back, that only murderers and sex offenders were going to be thrown under the bus in the process of having that happen, which already depletes the number down, I should think. And then the other thing was completion of sentence. This was sold basically, and if you can check this and this is verifiable, the wording is not there to help felons. The wording is there to come up with a methodology to get something on the ballot that a number of conservatives would vote for because there weren't enough people to go over and pass it at 60%. That's why it became part of the sale. Most of the people who signed under those auspices, I should think, want to know that they are getting a verified, properly completed felon before they give them the right. To go over on January the 8th, I want to put it there, and hopefully tens of thousands of people will sign up, because that puts pressure on the people in Tallahassee to say, okay, what is the verification method? How quickly can we make it happen, make the word automatic actually happen, which isn't in the amendment?
So, Paul, let me ask you, would you have supported, would you have rather have seen this amendment give restoration of voting rights to all felons, regardless of crime?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Okay, so you're opposed. I'm just trying to get clarification on the opposition that you have to the language. So you're opposed to the exclusion of those convicted of murder or felony sex crimes.
Okay, no, this is something where what I'm opposed to is people basically manipulating the language in such a way. I think the goal was to get 60%, far more than to get a workable piece. If you
the 60%, to be clear, the 60% had to be given or won at the ballot box in order for this measure to be approved by the state. But I'm still unclear, Paul, about what your opposition is specifically to the amendment language that was passed. Could you help me understand?
Okay. Certainly. For one thing, it is only voting. When you notice civil rights consist in Florida of a number of things, I am a citizen. I'm very simply, the only thing I cannot do is vote. What they have done there is make it into a privilege, tantamount on things like getting a driver's license or something along that line. Across this country right now, people are literally yelling in Arizona, Pennsylvania, and so on about how voting is being demeaned to a privilege. And that is exactly the example we have set here in Florida. Now they can hold up our own amendment and say, we learned it from you. Because
let's also mention the fact that Florida is an outlier when it comes to the denying felons the right to vote mm-hmm. upon completion of their sentence. And that is why I believe after a concerted grassroots campaign that went on for years, the majority of voters in the state said, yes, upon completing your sentence, the right to vote should be automatic. And let me ask you, Danny Rivero, about this a little bit, mm-hmm. because we are one of just a few states where felons don't automatically regain their right to vote after paying their debt to society. I think that's why we saw this bipartisan support for this measure. And it's interesting to note that very progressive groups and very conservative groups united. You don't see that very often in our politics today. Mm-hmm. So, Danny, what about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks to the fact that, I mean, Florida's now the third largest state in the country. We're the perennial swing state. You know, sometimes issues like this tend to get bipartisan support. I mean, there's a federal criminal justice bill right now that's getting the same kind of bipartisan support from libertarian groups as well as, you know, very progressive leaning votes. There's there's just some issues where something as fundamental as being able to go to the ballot box tends to, you know, felons are Democrats and Republicans. They're white and black. You know, this affects all parts of society, you know, white collar, you know, poor as dirt, everything. Everyone falls under this, and everyone basically, as far as I can tell, has someone in their immediate orbit or just, you know, second tier orbit that's been impacted by this. So
let's go to Jeffrey now. Sure. Let's go to Jeffrey now in Orlando. Hi, Jeffrey. You're on the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Well, I voted against this this measure, and happily to do so. I don't think that they are, when they finish their sentence, they haven't paid their debt to society. They haven't
Why not?
They haven't paid the incarceration fees. They haven't paid all the costs it was to get them there in the first place. They have a lot of costs that they've put on society, and those are not those have not been resolved. And it's just in general, the idea that the right to vote, voting is a privilege, and it has always been a privilege. When this
it's a constitutional right, Jeffrey. It's a constitutional right.
When this country was founded, it was restricted to people who owned property. Now,
and it's been continually expanded to larger and larger groups of people over the centuries.
So are you saying that once someone completes their sentence,
how long should they continue to pay their debt to society? Because I think the reason this passed is people saw the argument that once you've served your time, you should then regain the full rights of citizenship, including the franchise. But so how much longer should they keep paying?
Until
the rest of their lives?
Until they have paid the financial cost that they incurred to the society.
But what does that have to do with voting? What does that have to do with casting a ballot?
It has to do with voting for people who are going to help people take money away from other people. Everyone shouldn't have the right to vote. It shouldn't be a right.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Jeffrey. And I appreciate the call. Let me get a few more tweets on. Here's a tweet from Joe. As a person who was sentenced for murder as a juvenile, I feel like I pay taxes without representation. I have never had a right to vote, but I am a citizen. And, you know, let me ask you about that, Paul, because this is about providing U.S. citizens with the right to cast a ballot. Now, I know you had talked a little bit earlier about the ballot language, but that's fundamentally what this is about. Enlarging the franchise to more than a million U.S. citizens here in Florida.
Oh, and I agree. By the same, I've got to take the time right now answering to what you just heard was the myth of the felon, which is very prevalent in Florida from this person. There are states where they encourage you to vote when you're a felon because they figure we're trying to make him into a citizen. He should be practicing what we're trying to teach him. What a concept. But the point is that when we look over and say it's self-implementing and castigate people for asking for change, it was sold, as Danny said, as a bipartisan situation. We should be looking to both sides and saying, this is a right, and making it into how do we implement this correctly and get it done as quickly as possible in a spirit of cooperation. Because when we show up, if all of a sudden all of us are verified before certification, there's going to be people who are going to make a mistake. There's going to be people who will outright lie. But by the same token, that's going to come back, and that will sting what has been a very positive thing for felons, getting us back into the mainstream.
Okay, and thanks for that. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Amendment 4 here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
Let me bring in a call here from Brevard County. Roy has been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Roy, your thoughts.
Thank you. I wanted to go back to the beginning of the conversation and comment about what appears to be discouraging people to go down to register to vote in January 6th or 8th, or whatever they're going to be eligible. January 8th. There's no reason that they shouldn't go down and put their name on a list to begin the process of registering to vote. That's perfectly reasonable. So I wish you'd put the message out that they ought to try to do that, or at least inquire to see if they can do that. That isn't The process does not have to be completed under any law I'm aware of while people are standing there, but they could go down and do it. The second point was made about some elections possibly coming up in February and other counties.
In March.
Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
March,
there's usually
yeah.
a two-month period, at least where I live in Broward
County.
Yeah,
29-day wait.
So,
it's a 29-day wait in Florida.
So maybe it's moot. I mean, if people miss one election, but they otherwise get their votes back over a procedural thing, it's not the biggest loss in the world. Just go down, and for people who might be listening and wondering if they should go down or call your supervisor of election and ask if you can sign up as soon as it's convenient.
Yeah, so and this is on the sure, and the supervisors of elections across the state, Danny Rivero, are going to be grappling with this. And elections coming up in February, March in some counties, you are going to see activists coming in asking to be re-enfranchised. What would you say to the activist groups around the state who are already making noise about this, including up here in Jacksonville, where they staged a rally the other day, saying that if every felon isn't automatically enfranchised on January 8th, that voter suppression continues to be a huge issue here in the state of Florida, with more than a million Florida citizens potentially being delayed their right to cast a ballot?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, basically every activist or group that I've talked to says, look, we're gonna take this one step at a time. We're going to go down there. We're going to go register. You know, if something doesn't play out, then we'll take it from there. The caller said, who cares? You know,
put your name on a list.
Yeah. Put your name on the list. You know, you might miss one or two elections. I mean, I would say for some people, that's a very big deal. I mean, you have mayoral elections for your local municipality. Are you not going to be able to vote for your mayor just because they didn't get it in on time? I mean, it's not a general election where you're voting for president or the governor, but I mean, it is an election. That's your right as a citizen.
Yeah, the election laws, in terms of how to operate an election, don't take into consideration the number of offices on the ballot or the scale of the election. An election's an election.
Exactly. And I'll point out, you know, the state of Florida, the current Governor Rick Scott, he's been facing a lawsuit over this entire rights restoration process. It's now in a federal appeals court. Last week, his lawyers, which is actually Attorney General Pam Bondi, they made a filing and they said, look, all these questions that we've been fighting this whole time, this is basically going to be moot because as of January 8th, they wrote in their filing, all these defendants, all the people that were petitioning the court to be able to vote, they're going to be able to vote. And so the state, as it is now, its position is that this is going into effect on January 8th. The incoming administration seems to have a different point of view. Mm-hmm. But on paper, the state of Florida is saying this goes into effect on January 8th. Now, I'll add, there's two plaintiffs that they're not because they have court costs. I have talked to people that said, you know, they're worried if the legislature gets involved, they can find out ways to say, okay, you didn't pay your cost to society.
Danny Rivero, a reporter at WLRN, he'll stick with us. Paul Hureau, thank you for your input. A felon in Florida talking about the implementation and the writing of Amendment 4, the restoration of voting rights for felons. Your calls and tweets continue after this. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks again for listening this week on Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville as we continue taking your calls and tweets, plenty of them, as we talk about Amendment 4. You, the voters, passed it in November, guaranteeing felons in the state the right to vote once they've served their term. We're talking about more than a million voters in this state. But the question is, where the rubber meets the road, implementation. How is this going to be implemented beginning January 8th? Lots of tweets from all over the Sunshine State. Lizzie tweets the show, it's fundamentally wrong for anyone to think the right to vote should be a punishment for a crime. This right is the core of democracy. Nothing should be done to minimize its importance. Mary Jo tweets the Florida Roundup, why not mention that not allowing felons to vote was a result of Jim Crow laws? It has nothing to do with paying debts to society. We'll continue to get into that history with WLRN reporter Danny Rivero. He's on the show with us and lots of calls. Let's go to John in Miami Beach. Hi, John. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In response to the last caller, I would say once you've served your sentence, you've repaid the debt that was imposed upon you by the justice system, the very justice system and prison system that are funded by the taxes paid by all citizens, including ex-felons. So why should they be denied the right to vote for the people who represent them at the local, state, and federal level? And I'm no fan of murderers or sexual offenders, but I don't see why they should be excluded from this either. And I'd be interested to hear, if anybody remembers, what the rationale and arguments were for the initial law being passed taking away this vote, because I don't know that.
Thanks, John. That's John in Miami Beach. And Danny Rivero, let's talk quickly about the history of this. We're getting tweets about this. There is a racist component to the implementation of these laws that were restricting felons from voting historically here in Florida and a lot of other states. Can you touch on that briefly?
Yes, briefly. I mean, this law or this process or lack thereof is basically a remnant of the Reconstruction era, is post-Civil War, and then it led up into the Jim Crow era. Basically, you know, some of these laws, not just in Florida, but in other states, were formulated as a way to disenfranchise essentially black voters. You know, say if we get a black man and we lock him up for a night with a felony, well, now he doesn't have to vote. Now he doesn't get to vote. So, you know, this law had been in place for a very long time, and it had been called out as racist for decades and decades. And now here we are.
And regarding the process that this is aimed to address, this was a process that Governor Scott changed when he came in as governor in 2011. When you look at the Palm Beach Post's reporting about just the average number of clemencies granted by the Clemency Board in Florida, with Governor Bush, it was about 9,000 a year. With Governor Crist, it was about 39,000 a year. With Governor Scott, it's been about 400 a year. This is a process that really is controlled at the administrative level, in the gubernatorial level, that Governor Scott particularly has changed in a way that it wasn't since the mid-1970s in Florida.
That's exactly right. I mean, under the last administration with Governor Crist, who was Republican kind of towards the end of his administration, he went to independent and now Democrat, of course. But if you look at the graphs of how many people were granted their clemency, he was really moving it very quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just basically stopped when Rick Scott came. Yeah, Rick Scott.
Enormous difference between the Crist administration and the Scott administration. When you look at the data, it's really striking. And it seemed as though anger about the way Governor Scott conducted this really fueled the fire of these grassroots activists to really get the word out about the group, the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. They were almost given wings, it seems, by the backlash to the way Rick Scott handled clemency.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It went from being, you know, there was still a process, but thousands and thousands of people were getting their votes restored, to now, you know, with Rick Scott, almost no one was getting their rights restored. And that's something I've heard from activist groups saying, and elected officials, you know, county supervisors of elections saying, thank God we're going to have actually, you know, one thing across the board, because as it was, one administration did it this way, another administration did it this way, and there was just really no telling, you know, if someone comes into your office, am I going to be able to vote? I mean, they didn't know what to say.
And that was the source. That was the source of the lawsuit against the Clemency Board, was that it didn't have a uniform policy. Warren in Delray in South Florida, you've been very patient. Go ahead, Warren. You're on the radio.
Thank you for allowing me to participate. Not to get bloodstains all over the place from a liberal heart.
Go ahead.
A little Friday humor from South Florida.
Well, there's an old saying in Hollywood: if you can't be better, be funnier. And the Lord knows I'm not better, so that leaves only one alternative. Anyway, I agree with the fine people who called and basically said that, I will put it my way. If you go into prison, you're going in guilty, even though I acknowledge some people have gone in innocent. But when you come out, you should be considered innocent, and all felons coming out of prison, released after serving their time, all kinds, and I'm no fan of rapists or murderers either, but they should be allowed to vote for the people who set policy that governs them as well as the rest of the people. And there is no justifiable reason for not doing that. This policy is a way of keeping, as the other people said, the folks, especially people who are not white, from voting. And that's just entirely wrong.
Warren, we appreciate your input here. Thank you for sharing it with us here on the Florida Roundup. And I'll remind folks that you are listening to the program from Florida Public Radio.
Lots of calls, strong emotions around this amendment, and we're getting calls from people who have felony convictions, sharing their stories, like Nicholas in Clearwater. Hi, Nicholas. You're on the Florida Roundup. Go ahead. Tell us about yourself.
All right. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
It's a really interesting conversation. I wanted to touch base. I heard somebody kind of being a little negative, so just a little bit of history about myself. I was born and raised in Florida. Around the age of 16 and 18, I really didn't make the best choices, which landed me incarcerated. I actually had a 5-year sentence in the Florida Department of Correction. You know, getting out of that was around 2012. Fast forward now, I'm 30 years old. I'm a very productive member of society, paying my taxes every year. I have a wife and a child now. So I think this is a really great thing to bring to people that want it and want to do better and help our communities.
Sure, you want to vote. So do you plan to go down and register to vote next month?
Oh, as soon as they passed, I put in my online registration to get it started.
And are you concerned at all about the process, that it may be delayed because supervisors of elections are saying they're just not getting clear direction on how to implement your ballot, how to implement your voter registration?
Well, I mean, it's a step in the right direction. My whole adult life, I haven't been able to vote. So, you know, just taking one step forward, I think it's great. You know, it might
slow down
a little bit. You know?
Well, good luck. And that's Nicholas in Clearwater. Has a felony conviction, but has been a productive member of society for decades now. And thank you for calling, Nicholas. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And here's a tweet from Joanna. All the people against Amendment 4 just proves the fundamental flaw in our prison system, which seeks to satisfy our need for revenge rather than truly rehabilitate the individual. It is morally unjust to deprive anyone of their right to vote. That's from Joanna, tweeting the Florida Roundup. Danny Rivero, that was certainly the argument that won the day across the state in November. And, you know, before we let you go, how do you see the passage of Amendment 4 affecting states? There's only a few states that have a similar law like this that have prohibited felons from voting. States like Kentucky, Iowa. Now that Florida's gone this route, do you think that will have a ripple effect on some of the other states that still prevent felons from voting?
Well, I have seen what looks to be the beginnings of something of an online campaign aimed at Kentucky in particular, saying, look, Florida did it. You guys are now the outliers. Mm. You know, when are you going to get the ball rolling and do something about this? You know, a big outlier for a long time was the state of Virginia. They actually... It wasn't as many people, but their governor there actually did an executive order and then later did it individually. But he re-granted, you know, tons and tons, hundreds of thousands of people the right to vote. And it was very politically popular for him. You know, it was very opportunistic, some people say, doing it with, you know, the stroke of a pen rather than actually letting the voters decide it as they did it here. But yeah, I think it is going to move the bar potentially in some other states, or it'll at least give them something to point at and say, hey, look at that.
Yeah, in the third most populous state. Hey, look at that. They may have something to look at come January 8th and 9th, which is the question of how did it work? Are these felons actually registered to vote?
Yeah,
in
will
Florida?
They get to cast their ballots?
Yeah, do they have voter registration cards in the mail at that point?
Yeah.
And we continue to get emails right up to the close of the hour expressing opinions about this. Here's one from a former official with the local public defender's office in Jacksonville. This is purely a function of the collective group of supervisors of elections only. The fact that Governor-elect DeSantis has assumed leadership on this matter is a power grab on this part. Strong rhetoric around this. And we will be watching closely to see how this is implemented in Florida. So many calls and tweets all through the hour, which shows just how engaged Floridians are on this issue of Amendment 4, guaranteeing felons the right to vote in this state after they've completed their sentence. Thanks to all the calls and all the tweets and emails we got on this issue. And thanks to Danny Rivero of WLRN. Just amazing reporting and insights on your part all through the hour. Danny, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And that is our show for today. The Florida Roundup is produced by WJCT Public Broadcasting in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Our producers are Bridget O'Brien and Heather Schatz. Heather, welcome to the Florida Roundup, our new producer.
Welcome aboard, Heather. Great to have you. Jason Zapka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, also our Technical Director. The Director of Radio Operations at WLRN is Peter Meritz. Our theme music provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at AaronLibos.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm Tom Hudson.